Well, I hardly need to tell you in this present pandemic that we lived in a world of death. This is a world where the curse has reached every corner of the globe. It wouldn't matter what country you visit, you will find briars, thorns, weeds, and of course, living things, even men, women, boys, and girls, who are all subject to death. And in this world of the curse, death is always pursuing us. Death is around us, danger is around us, disease, and even this plague of COVID-19 is haunting every single person in the world at this time. What a dreadful world we live in, a world of the curse, and how we need hope. Well, Isaiah was given the sight of a world where there would be no more death. He was given to see a day when all people in the world would be death-free, sorrow-free, and all living things would be living in perfect harmony. Even among the animal world, there would be peace and safety. Now, this would be the result of a little shoot out of the house of the tribe of Jesse, the father of King David. Now, if you look on our church website at the Sunday school section, you will see a picture of a tree stump. And it was of a huge tree, and the stump is sawed off very close to the ground, and that stump is rotting and dying. But out of that stump is a little new shoot, a new little tree with its leaves fluttering in the wind, and it is the picture of new life. Now, I've used that for our Sunday school, and it's very biblical, because this is the picture that Isaiah gives us, that out of that decaying line of David, that house of Judah that fell into apostasy, into decline, under Roman oppression, and really had no freedom of its own, out of that very Judean line would come a marvelous Savior, the Messiah. And he would reign and set up a kingdom where there is no more dominion of wicked men, no more sin, because there is no more curse. And of course, this is our great hope at this Christmas season as we think of the household of Mary and Joseph. Mary, who was but a teenager in Nazareth, one of the most impoverished areas of the land. And yet, from her womb would come forth a marvelous Savior, from her own child. The Son of God was born, and the world was given a gift because Christ was come that he might remove the curse and bring life to all who otherwise had no hope. Now, we do not misrepresent this kingdom as the perfect state where there is no sorrow, no war, no death, no disease. I hope today that you're interested in this kingdom that is coming forth from the birth of our Lord Jesus. Now, in this chapter 11 of Isaiah, we need to follow Isaiah's description of this little shoot out of the house of Jesse to grasp the wondrous power of the Messiah. You will see in verse 2, Messiah's anointing. And if you read that with me, and the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that could well be an uppercase S, Spirit, because it is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who is referred to. He will equip the Son of God with all might to bring about the new world for suffering sinners. And you will see that by that anointing of the Spirit, there would be given unto the Lord the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the human nature of our Lord Jesus was kept pure. I want you to think of Mary's consternation. How shall these things be, having not known a man? And Gabriel, who was talking with Mary, gave her the answer. He said in Luke 1:35, "The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And so you can see that in the incarnation, in the miraculous conception of the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary, there was the superintendence, the operation of God the Holy Spirit attending Mary that she would be with child. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, his mind, the mind of this newborn child, would be wise. And the Holy Spirit, by his power, retained the fear of God in the human nature of our Lord Jesus. And we know that from birth, that he was sinless. And the fear of God and the desire to do the will of God perfectly, with perfect obedience, that was upon the Lord Jesus all his days on earth. And of course, that was part of his work as the Savior who would lift the curse of sin from the world. He himself would live perfectly sinless and with full of grace. And so that's the first announcement we find here in Isaiah 11, the anointing of the Messiah. And we worship the Lord Jesus today, not just as a man, but as the God-man. We worship him as one who was sent, anointed. That's really the meaning of Christ. And in the Bible, it usually has the definite article, the Christ. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, specially equipped to be the Savior of the world, that he would remove the curse from of us. Now, secondly, you'll see here in Isaiah 11, Messiah's powers to rule in perfect judgment. His reign is not like other rulers or kings who rule by crushing men's hearts. But this Savior will reign by winning men's hearts, by converting sinners to discipleship and to be followers of the Lord Jesus gladly. You look there at verse 3, "He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and with equity for the meek of the earth." I think of that hymn that we have in our hymnal, "The Savior of the World." And it's special because it's set in our hymnal to that tune of the Londonderry air. And the words are, "I cannot tell how he will win the nations, how he will claim his earthly heritage, how satisfy the needs and aspirations of East and West, of sinner and of sage. But this I know, all flesh shall see his glory, and he shall reap the harvest he has sown, and some glad day his sun shall shine in splendor." And of course, he'll win the nations by putting his Spirit within their hearts. And every born-again Christian is a living testimony to the grace of the Savior winning hearts to follow and to serve him. Now, if you look at verse 5, you'll see that his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. And the Lord Jesus preached this himself on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's a kingdom of righteousness. And this, of course, is the blessed hope of the believer in the Lord Jesus. This world is not our home. This world is a world of the curse. It's a world of sin. It's a world where the wicked seem, just for short term, to prosper. But we know that the Lord has a kingdom of perfect righteousness. And I want in. And you want in. And we pray that many will come and enter into this kingdom and follow the Savior who is come to set up that glorious reign of righteousness. Thirdly, we see here in Isaiah 11, verse 6 now, Messiah's peace and security. Now, we come here in verse 6 to poetical language that speaks of a golden age of peace and security. We're told in verse 6, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." Now, don't try doing that today. Don't put a wolf and a lamb in the same cage or in the same pasture, because it won't go well. You will go out and all you'll find is the wool torn and the carcass of the lamb and the wolf feeding upon it. This is a world where the animal kingdom is at odds. It's a world of cruelty and death. But in the kingdom of the Lord, we're told here that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Now again, this is poetical. And Isaiah's like that. Isaiah is not only the evangelical prophet, but he is a poetical character who bursts into these scenes to demonstrate a truth. And the truth is that the kingdom of the Lord is a kingdom of peace and security, where there's no more death, no more danger, no more disease, because Christ has come to lift the curse. You'll see in that verse 6 that goes on to talk about the leopard. Now, the leopard has to be one of the most devious and ferocious beasts of the jungle, and yet it will lie down with the kid, the little tiny helpless sheep or goat. And we're told that the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. There's going to be a tremendous change in a new world order where there is no curse. And a little child shall lead them. What a picture. Now, when I was a child, about 3 years old, growing up on a farm, I was overrun by a bull. I don't know what I was even doing in the same barn. I don't know what was happening around me, but I saw this beast, this bull, jumping right over me, and I was just a toddler. And I can remember the sight on my mother's face. She just went pale. Many, even strong farmers, are killed by bulls and livestock. They can gore the farmer. This is a world of cruelty. But Christ has come to remove the curse and to set up a kingdom where there is no such danger. You'll see also in verse 7, it continues on, this poetical language. The cow and the bear shall feed. Well, those two are just not compatible. You talk to any rancher, and that's why they fear the growing population of bears, because their livestock is at risk. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. That's not this world. If you go to a zoo today, you will see 10-foot railings around those pens that display these different animals that are ferocious and dangerous. But the Lord has come to remove the curse, and there will be a new kingdom and a new reign, and it will be a place of safety and security. Now, if you go down to verse 9, you will see one thing that marks this new reign. We are told at the end of that, in the middle of that verse, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." In this world, the curse has brought darkness, blindness of heart, and ignorance of God. But in that new world, the knowledge of the Lord will cover every square inch of that kingdom. And that knowledge will be a delight. The all will know, all will worship, all will delight in the Lord Jesus. Now, how is this possible? How can this be from an infant born in obscurity, born in poverty, in a cattle shed, that would grow up for 33 years, and we don't know very much about this Jesus for all those years. But then he took on his ministry, baptized, the Holy Spirit descended. He began to preach, he performed miracles. He was hated of his own people, crucified on the cross with a crown of thorns upon his head. And that was symbolic of our Savior taking the curse upon himself. And Galatians 3:13 tells us that cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Our Lord Jesus in his own body, as the Redeemer and Savior of his people, took the curse of sin upon himself, that we would be delivered from that curse, and that he would set up a wonderful kingdom free from all the effect of the curse. And there will be a world of peace, of safety, of righteousness, where Christ will be known and worshipped day and night, where men and angels and all creation will sing of his glory. This is the meaning of the season that we rejoice in today. Who does not want to know such great and good news to the world? Now, the rest of the chapter, I didn't read it earlier, but the rest of the chapter goes on to speak of the wonderful results of our Lord Jesus bringing about this golden age, this new world. You'll see there in verse 10 that the Gentiles shall come to the ensign of the people. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. Now, this is a standard bearer. This is a banner held up. And the Gentiles will come under the rule or the headship of the Lord Jesus, just as an army would follow the standard bearer. And that Jesus, the son of Jesse, will become the ensign to which the people will seek. I hope that you have come under the banner of the Lord Jesus. You can see here that in this Old Testament prophecy, there is the prediction that Christ is come not just for Jews, but for Gentiles. And while even Jews may reject him, the nations of the world will rejoice in the Lord Jesus. You'll see in verse 11 that a remnant of Israel is recovered. The Jews scattered in a wide diaspora will be gathered again. And we're told in that verse 11 that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Now, Jews are not excluded, but rather they too will come. And at Pentecost and in the first century, multitudes of Jews were wonderfully converted. Even those who had cried, "Crucify him," they now realized their error and confessed faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, how did I come to be included? What sovereign providence came down through the ages to knock at my heart's door, causing me to rally under this gospel ensign? Well, there was a day when I heard the gospel, and I heard that Jesus was not only a wonderful name, but that he was building a kingdom, and he won my heart. And that's the story of every born-again Christian around the world, generation after generation. And I pray that your heart be won and that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus to be a part of his kingdom. But you must look to his ensign. You must look to his banner. Don't follow the world. Don't follow the gimmicks of false religion. But look to Christ, the man of Calvary, who wore that crown of thorns to take the curse upon him. And you come confessing and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you bore the curse of my sin to be my Savior." On down in verse 16, you will see that there is a highway for the remnant that shall be carved out to give access to Christ. In verse 16, that's the last verse of the chapter, "And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." Now, think of the people of God in their millions coming out of Egypt. God opened a way, even through the Red Sea. God opened a way for his people to pass into liberty and one day to the promised land. God does that for his people. Now, there may be many obstacles that are in your way preventing you from coming to the Lord Jesus. Obstacles will be cleared. Your unbelief, your Christ rejection, your inclination towards sin and the world, the Lord can clear all that away. And the Lord can open up the way for sinners to come. Of course, he has done that at the cross. And he does that in your own personal life. Now, for Christians who have come to Christ, there were 1,001 things that would have crossed the path, that would have stopped them from coming to Jesus. But in the end, nothing stopped them. The Lord overcomes every obstacle. And enemies of the cross, critics of the gospel, hypocrites who made the way obscure, but the highway was cleared, and you came as a sinner to Jesus. And sinners come to Christ to worship him. And when you get into chapter 12, you will see that that is the great focus, that those who enter into the highway of the gospel are come that they might enjoy life with Jesus as the Savior. You'll see in verse 2 that he is referred to as Jehovah, and you'll see in verse 3 the reference to drinking out of the wells of salvation. And that's because the curse is removed. There is fellowship with God. There is peace of heart. And of course, every Christian, we look forward to that world where there is no more curse. Where is that? Heaven. Heaven. Let's just close today reading Revelation chapter 22 and a few verses that remind us of that land where there is no more curse. Revelation 22, verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And this now is the eternal state that every born-again, blood-washed Christian lives for, delights in, that when we are in Christ, we will be changed into his glorious likeness, we will see his face, and we will worship him forever and ever in a land where there is no more death, no more danger, no more disease. There is everlasting blessedness. And all because God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they would never face the curse of sin. And that's the hope in the breast of every child of God. And that's the hope that we can preach to a dying world today. I wish I could go into the hospitals. I wish I could go to the places of the dying and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. We can only pray that this webcast and our radio broadcast and whatever other voice we may have, that sinners will hear this great good news which the angel announced on the hillsides. Glory to God in the highest, goodwill toward men, and peace with God. The curse will be removed, and all the suffering that we in this world endure will enter into that world where there is no more curse, no more danger. It will be perfect safety, perfect rest. That's the hope that we have today in the Lord Jesus. But let me remind you that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And you need to come to the Lord Jesus, calling on him to save you. Trust in him with all your heart. Believe the gospel. And praise God, you will be saved. And again, if I can help, feel free. Give me a call. Let me help you to seek the Lord, to know that hope of a world where there is no more curse. May God be gracious to save you. Let's unite in prayer in closing. Father, we thank you for this wonderful scene that we have here in the book of Isaiah of a world with no more curse. Oh Lord, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus, the one who came, this little stem out of the house of Jesse, this branch that will bring such a kingdom of everlasting righteousness, of peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming into the world to be our Savior, to give hope to a dying world, to dying sinners. And I pray today that you will take this message to the hearts of many to save them and lead them into this great hope. Lord, we think of the world around us that is dying. We think of the many that are in hospitals, ICU wards, the many that are just a thread away from death. Oh God, have mercy. And may this gospel of your Son be given to them even at this time. Bless your people today. Be with us in this week when we do rejoice in our Lord Jesus. May his grace thrill our hearts, and let us use every opportunity to worship him and to be living witnesses for him. Bless us now as we dismiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you redeemed now and evermore. Amen. Amen.